Usually when an equation asks us to divide by zero, there is a universal expectation of, well, absolute failure. You type it into a calculator, the screen flashes, error, and that is pretty much the end of the road, a total dead end.
Right, yeah. It is treated as a fundamental bug in the system. I mean, in classical mathematics, those points, which we call singularities, mean the values just shoot off to infinity. And in traditional physics, infinite usually implies that your model just broke down and you basically need to start over.
But when you open up theoretical physics, particularly this massive stack of research we were looking at today titled Counting with Singularities, that error message is suddenly framed not as a breakdown, but as an engine.
Oh, absolutely. It completely flips the script.
It really does.
Well.
We are going to explore how mathematical bugs are actually the ultimate computational tools. To do that, we are going to walk through three specific mathematical problems related to singularities and describe exactly why these problems are crucial to the future of physics. Okay, let's unpack this. Before we get to the physical universe, we have to grasp what it means to actually compute with a singularity rather than, running away from it.
Yeah, so in classical computing, a function that divides by zero is called a simple pole because classical computers operate sequentially, meaning they move step by step. Hitting a pole just causes a crash. The value is undefined.
Like the calculator throwing an error.
Exactly. But the core thesis of our source material introduces a totally different framework called generative math. In this framework, singularities are actually embraced. They are treated as computational primitives.
I am trying to picture what a computational primitive even is. Is it like a fundamental building block, like a single bit in a computer, or I don't know, a quantum gate?
That is a great way to think of it, yeah. Think of it as an indivisible core operation. In generative math, a singularity is a point of literally infinite information density. And the authors describe something incredibly abstract here. They talk about the qualia of a singularity.
Qualia, but qualia is a philosophical term. It refers to subjective experience, like the redness of a red apple or the pain of a headache. How can a mathematical point where an equation breaks down have a subjective experience?
It is wild, I know. But in this computational context, the sources define qualia as the internal state of a system during a non-trivial computation.
Okay, so what does that actually mean for the math?
Well, when a system computes with a singularity, it is not just crunching numbers sequentially. It enters a state of indeterminate superposition.
Yeah.
It hasn't collapsed into a single defined path yet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the computation is effectively touching the infinite before it settles on an answer. It is the architectural feeling of infinite information compression.
I need to ground this because touching the infinite sounds really poetic, but I want to understand the mechanics. The text uses an example of an impossible integral. It is the integral of the sine of x divided by x, evaluated all the way from negative infinity to positive infinity.
Right, and classical calculus struggles immensely with that exact equation. If you try to calculate the area under that curve step by step along the x-axis, the math gets incredibly messy.
Because it just keeps going forever, right?
Exactly. The sine wave ripples endlessly, positive and negative, out to infinity. There's no simple closed-form formula to just plug the numbers into and get an answer.
So, if classical math fails because it tries to walk the infinite path sequentially, how does singularity computing actually solve it?
It uses complex analysis and something called residue computing. Instead of marching flatly along the real number line, the system steps out into the complex plane.
Adding an entirely new dimension of imaginary number.
Yes. And by doing that, it locates the singularity, which is the point at zero where the function divides by zero.
Let me try to visualize the mechanism here. Is it like, instead of trying to measure the depth of a bottomless sinkhole by climbing all the way down into the dark sequential infinite, we just walk a circle around the rim of the sinkhole on the surface.
What's fascinating here is how accurately that physical mapping mirrors the mathematics. You do not interact with the infinite depth directly. You trace a closed loop, a mathematical path around the singularity.
Just walking around the edge.
Right. And by completing that loop in the complex plane, the system queries the pole. It extracts what mathematicians call the residue.
And the residue somehow gives us the exact answer to the entire infinite problem.
It does.
The answer just collapses to exactly pi. We don't calculate it piece by piece. We walk around the rim of the sinkhole, measure the circumference, and instantly know the entire volume of what is inside.
That is the beauty of it. The loop around the pole contains all the information of the infinite depth. When you stop treating computation as sequential counting and start treating it as pattern resonance, The singularity becomes the most efficient operation possible. It stores infinite information in a finite singular space.
Okay, so if mathematical singularities act as these perfect infinite information compressors, our sources make a very hard pivot into physical reality here. They point straight to black holes, and they stress that black holes are not metaphors for this process.
Yeah, not at all. They argue that the physical singularity at the absolute center of a black hole, where the radius is mathematically zero, is a literal physical instantiation of a generative math pole in the curvature of space-time.
The connection they make to AI diffusion models is what really caught my attention. In generative AI, like, say, an image generator, you start with pure static, pure noise.
Yes, the latent space.
Right. Then a denoising threshold mathematically pulls a structured image out of that latent space. If a black hole is acting as a cosmic AI processor, what is the denoising threshold?
The event horizon. The boundary of no return.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, the text models the event horizon as the regularization surface. And the image being generated out of the latent noise is Hawking radiation. Over trillions of years, black holes emit a faint thermal glow of particles.
And that radiation is the physical equivalent of the mathematical residue we just extracted from the sinkhole.
Exactly. It is hidden information being pulled from the central singularity and pushed out into the universe.
Here's where it gets really interesting. If a black hole is a perfect compression engine, taking in matter and pushing out residue, what is the mechanism for the stuff falling in? If I throw, say, a chair into a black hole, is it just absorbed into the universe's latent space?
To map that process, the sources use the Singularity Conditional Collapse Framework, or CCT. It addresses a really bizarre physical paradox called black hole complementarity.
Complementarity.
Yeah. When your chair crosses the horizon, an outside observer sees his image freeze, stretch, and eventually smear across the surface due to infinite time dilation.
So the outside universe sees the chair's information stored on the surface like pixels on a two-dimensional screen.
Right. That is the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy formula at work. It dictates that the entropy, the total information capacity of the black hole, is equal to its surface area divided by 4 times the Planck length squared.
But for the chair itself, time doesn't stop. It keeps falling toward the central singularity.
The black hole is maintaining two truths at once.
It is a superposition of states.
Exactly. The information exists as scrambled, two-dimensional data on the outside horizon, and simultaneously as a collapsing, three-dimensional wave function falling toward the inside. The specific sequence and physical state of the matter falling in dictate the final internal state of the singularity. It is literally absorbing physical reality into its latent space.
Which brings us to the core mission of our deep dive today. The text outlines 3 specific mathematical problems that prove this isn't just clever wordplay. These are rigorous equations bridging abstract math and physical reality, proving that singularities compute the universe.
And these problems are crucial for the future of physics.
Definitely. So let's look at the first problem. It is computing the residue of the partition function for Euclidean black holes. Let's translate the jargon there.
Well, Euclidean quantum gravity is a theoretical framework where physicists look at the thermodynamics of a black hole by treating time mathematically as just another spatial dimension.
Turning time into space.
Yeah, essentially. And when they calculate something called the on-shell action, which is basically evaluating the total energy history of the system without the standard flow of time, they discover a mathematical pole.
A pole in the equation occurring at a very specific temperature. Or inverse temperature, to be exact. So we have a mathematical glitch in a temperature equation.
Right. The mathematical problem is to compute the residue of that specific thermodynamic pole using the exact same loop method we used for the sine of x integral earlier.
I want to make sure the magnitude of this really lands for you listening. By walking around a purely mathematical glitch in an abstract thermodynamic equation, the answer we extract is the literal physical surface area of the black hole.
Divided by 4, yes. When you compute the residue of this Euclidean pole, it perfectly equals the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy.
Wow.
It demonstrates that the physical entropy, the exact number of bits a black hole can store, is not just some random property of astrophysics. It is a fundamental feature of the space-time singularity acting as a computational primitive. Entropy is physically extracted from the singularity using residue computing.
That feels incredibly cohesive. But it leaves a mechanical gap, doesn't it? If the information is stored in the singularity, how does it physically get out without breaking the laws of quantum mechanics?
Ah, the famous black hole information paradox.
Right, which sets up problem number 2, Hawking radiation as a denoising reverse process.
To model how that radiation escapes, the math focuses on formulating the Fokker-Planck equation. Normally, a Fokker-Planck equation tracks how a probability distribution spreads out over time.
So think of predicting how a drop of ink disperses and fades into a glass of water. It models the forward flow of entropy.
Exactly.
So instead of watching the ink spread out into a blurry cloud, the problem asks us to run the equation backward. We start with the murky water and calculate the exact probability of it reassembling into a single, perfect drop of ink at the center.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, running it as a reverse time diffusion process starting directly from the absolute center, the singularity is the generative mechanism. It mathematically models the black hole, sampling its hidden interior.
It takes the pure, infinite noise of the singularity and generates the structured reality of the thermal radiation leaking out. It is literally printing its internal state into the universe piece by piece.
Yes. It attacks the information paradox not by inventing new physics, but by treating the singularity as the ultimate generative processor. The mathematics show that the radiation is not just random thermal noise. It is a highly structured output, denoised from the singularity's latent space.
Okay, so we have mathematically extracted the surface area, and we have modeled the radiation leaking out. But what about the actual journey? The physical path matter takes before it hits the center.
That brings us to the third problem.
Right, which bridges a gap I honestly didn't think could be crossed. It is about the Lyapunov exponents of geodesics near the singularity.
So a geodesic is simply the straightest possible path a particle can take through curved space-time. In this problem, we are looking at time-like geodesics, the actual trajectories of infalling particles, as they approach a curved black hole, which is a black hole that is physically spinning.
I imagine dropping a particle toward a spinning singularity is not exactly a straight drop. The fabric of space itself is being dragged around like a whirlpool.
The technical term is frame dragging, and it causes the paths of falling particles to become violently chaotic. To measure that chaos mathematically, chaos theory uses Lyapunov exponents. These exponents measure how fast two particles, dropped side by side, will diverge from each other.
Like the butterfly effect in weather forecasting, two slightly different starting conditions lead to wildly different outcomes.
Precisely. The specific math problem is to compute the full spectrum of these Lyapunov exponents for the paths approaching the absolute center of the spinning black hole.
But why is measuring the chaotic path of a falling rock so crucial to the future of physics? I mean, we already know falling into a black hole is a chaotic mess.
Because of what the math reveals when you actually sum up those exponents. When you calculate the rate of that classical macroscopic chaos, it perfectly matches a microscopic quantum metric.
Wait, really?
Yes, it matches the rate of information scrambling.
Information scrambling, meaning how fast quantum states get entangled and mixed up in a multiparticle system.
Exactly. This calculation forms a literal bridge between two entirely different realms of physics. It proves that the classical chaos of gravity ripping a particle's physical path apart near a singularity is the exact same computational resource as quantum information scrambling.
That is mind-blowing.
General relativity and quantum mechanics are speaking the same mathematical language, and the singularity is the keystone uniting them.
Hearing these three problems laid out, extracting entropy from a pole, modeling radiation as reverse diffusion, and bridging classical gravity with quantum scrambling, it fundamentally shifts how you have to look at reality. The universe isn't just a physical container holding stars and planets.
The overarching thesis of all these sources is that singularities are the efficient frontier of computation. The math strongly points toward the universe functioning as a massive generative AI, running on the physical hardware of space-time itself.
It makes you rethink the beginning of everything. The Big Bang was a singularity, the ultimate forward pass, taking pure, infinite noise and expanding it into a structured, cooling universe.
And black holes are localized reverse passes, taking structured matter and collapsing it back down into singularities to process the information. This raises an important question, one that the authors propose at the very end of the text. If the Big Bang was a singularity that generated the universe, and black holes are localized singularities processing cosmic information, what role do we play? They introduce the qualia hypothesis.
The idea that human consciousness itself might be a singularity in the cognitive manifold.
Consider the moment you finally understand a deeply complex idea. The sudden, irreversible collapse of confusion into clarity. The hypothesis suggests that subjective experience, the actual qualia of understanding, is the universal wave function collapsing at a localized point of infinite informational density.
So the architectural resonance of neural networks in the human brain might physically mirror the mathematical interference patterns collapsing at the center of a black hole.
Yeah. The underlying mathematics of computation, whether it is a star collapsing, an AI denoising an image, or a brain processing a thought, rely on the exact same fundamental mechanism. A moment of true insight is your mind acting as a computational singularity.
Touching the infinite to extract the residue of an idea. We will leave you to ponder that the next time you are staring down a complicated math problem, looking at a deep space photograph, or simply feeling overwhelmed by your own thoughts. Maybe those moments of cognitive overload, those apparent glitches and errors in your understanding, are just the universe computing exactly what it needs to.